This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Listen, Chris was in here, all right? I'm always classy. Chris was in here. I had to talk to Captain America, Chris Evans, down the hall. We got stuff. Dewey texted the show. He said, "You're not cool, you suck." Except for he put, "You're not cool, Y-O-U-R." So I just automatically win that.
Hasn't he had enough? I mean, we don't know the details, but from our understanding, Dewey,
you were getting your ass kicked on Wire to Wire yesterday.
I don't know that he's not handling it, though. I mean, we don't know.
That's true.
He may be like, okay, just spell my name right. I mean, you know.
You're, Y-O-U-R, not cool, you suck. That's the message we got.
Yeah, you need to snort after you do that.
What I need.
You're, not Y-O-U-R.
What I need is for people to understand the difference between your, Y-O-U-R, is in the possessive, and you are, Y-O-U apostrophe, R-E.
What you need is tape on the sides of your glasses, not in the middle, because
Lonzo,
that would be too cool.
Expecting you to understand basic elementary level English is not a nerd thing. I'm not asking you to break down quantum mechanics for me here. Your versus you are. They're different words. They mean different things.
I am curious, though. If you're doing voice to text, does it automatically do it right?
Mine does. Mine runs voice to text through an AI now.
You have a superior phone.
I do. This is true.
But I am curious, if you do voice to text, does it make sure it's the right spelling of yours?
Because it evaluates context and it recognizes what the follow-up of that word is. And mine will put your, Y-O-U-R, first, but then it will evaluate the next few words and go, okay, what he meant is you are, as in Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, like Dewey did, but then failed.
What if you talk like Yoda? Will it still fix it?
I've never tried that. I don't know. No, I do not. Okay. It is 8 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, which means it is time for the Audio Blitz, the best audio that we have heard over the past 24 hours since the last time that we did the Audio Blitz. Here is some of the good stuff we've come up with. Already played this once, going to play it again. Ladies and gentlemen, last night, 8:34 remaining in the first period of the game, and LeBron James makes history. He's not done at all. He's got... If he wins a chip with Luka this year, then he's done, right? Like, he walks out on
top.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, he got to play with his son, won another championship, walks out with a bunch of records, and waves to the haters by, and just
moves to Hollywood, makes a gazillion dollars.
He'll go to Hollywood where he can fix his hair, and no one will make fun of him about it. If he shows up in a movie and has good hair, well, they know that's part. It's acting.
Acting? We'll see.
I really don't see him coming back. But what if they don't? Does he come back if they don't?
Yes.
Yes, I think he comes back for 41. And I think he comes back for 41 because even though he's gotten to play with his kid, he hasn't really played with his kid. Like, he shared the court with Bronny a couple of times. But Bronny's been, I don't know if you saw this last week, there was a game where Bronny started the game on the bench, and by the time they were showing the Lakers in the late third quarter, Bronny was sitting in the seats behind the Lakers bench. He got replaced on, like, he literally was a row, maybe two, behind the Lakers, just sitting there watching the game. And I'm like, ah, dude, I don't care if you think he's a Nepo baby who got drafted just because he's the next James, which I don't. I think he was good enough to get drafted and about where he was, to be honest, as a developmental player, a player who should never be on a main roster this year, but good enough to be drafted there. I couldn't help but feel real bad for the dude when the camera panned over to Bron and Luka, and Bronny's back there with the, like, which just with normal people. It wasn't like there's a secondary Lakers bench back there for the fifth line guys. No, no. He was just next to some lady eating a hot dog. It was wild.
I disagree with you only in this, that courtside seats cost a lot of money, so he was sitting there with rich people.
Yes, but not rich people who play for the Lakers.
Okay.
Just some lady who had courtside money.
But not
popping a glizzy down.
He wasn't sitting with the normies. He was sitting with the rich folk.
Yes.
Which he is one of.
What you should say in that spot is the rich folk were sitting with him. But the point here is,
I don't feel bad for him in that standpoint. No.
I do. Are you kidding me? You get caught up in the main roster. You're feeling more good about yourself. And then they're like, hey, Bronny, get out of the way. Go sit in the regular seats, bud. All right.
Try living in that shadow. I mean, no matter what you do, you're living in that shadow.
You can say whatever you want. The man got removed from the bench and put in the regular seats.
Maybe he did it by
choice. That hurts.
Maybe he did it by choice.
That hurts.
Maybe he's not allowed to eat on the bench and he was hungry.
He wasn't eating.
So he went back. Yeah, when they
listen,
showed
I appreciate
him on video.
What you're doing here. He got relegated. It sucks. It's embarrassing, even if he didn't do anything to do it.
Hey, G League, your seat's back there.
This is one of my favorite things. I love the week after, the 2 weeks after the combine, because you start to hear combine stories. You start to hear how guys have been treated, how they acted, what they said, how they said it, yada, yada, yada. And it's always fun because you get a bunch of stories about this year, which we are for Shador going to be talking about coming up here in a minute. But you also get older stories of players and coaches gone by, like legendary Minnesota Vikings defensive back Fred Smoot, who sat down on the Barstool podcast with John Gruden. And he accused John Gruden
of being nicey?
No, of being meanie. And passing on drafting him because of his comp. Before Smoot said, sup, Chucky, sup, coach, he walked in, looked Gruden in the face, and said, the world is covered 70% by water. I cover the other 30%. And Chucky said, get his ass out of here, and then passed on him.
By the way,
that's hilarious.
That's a good line.
It's a great line.
That's a really good line.
They said that about Darrell Revis back when we were in the Revis Island days. That was like a big catchphrase of his. It's been a catchphrase of DBs for a long time. I'm pretty sure Dion said it first back in like the early 90s. It's been around for a while. But what I like about this, and this is something I'm actually going to talk about coming up here a little later in the show, about this whole conversation of, is Shador Sanders cocky? Is he arrogant? Is he confident? Is he just Dion's kid? And all the different ways that people are looking at Shador based on not his interview, but reports about it. I listen to this and I'm like, yo, imagine if Chucky wouldn't have heard that, wouldn't have gone, this guy's kind of a cocky, arrogant moron, and passed on him. If Fred Smoot would have been on that defense with Warren Sapp and Derrick Brooks, that team would have been a dynasty. If you'd have had an all-pro in Sapp, an all-pro in Brooks, and an all-poot right there. That's on me. An all-pro in Fred Smoot in that defensive backfield. You'd have had a Hall of Famer at all three levels. That would have been a dynasty, but he passed on him because of a, I'm going to say joke, but I don't know for sure. What else do we want to get to?
We've all been around that arrogant guy who talks that way. And you can tell that he's it's not confidence, it's cockiness. And if you're close talent wise, at least you think that they're fairly close talent wise because they're coming out of college, you don't know for sure. You're gonna pick the guy who you think is more coachable.
I'm gonna go with everybody's gonna handle it differently. I get accused, and I think if we cut the humor out of the show for 4 seconds.
Is that possible?
No, but we can try. I get accused of being a cocky, arrogant hole all the time.
You forgot loud.
A cocky, loud, arrogant hole all the time.
There it is.
But the people who know me behind the scenes, I don't like me that much, to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of me. I keep getting paid to do it, so I keep showing up and doing it. I'm not cocky or arrogant at all, but I get accused of it all the time because when it's job time, I jump on a mic and I go, hey, no ball. Oh, I'm funny. Oh, I'm smart. I'm whatever. I don't know that Fred Smoot saying water covers 70% of the earth, I cover the other 30%, would have put me off of drafting him. Here's what I do know. It put Chucky off of drafting him, and it cost him a Hall of Famer on his defense. Quick, Fred Smoot just told that story. Who was the guy he got that Smoot got passed on for? You don't even know. I don't even know. I don't remember. It was 8 seconds ago.
His best friend. His good friend.
Yeah, what was his name? Who was it that played DB for the Super Bowl winning Buccaneers? I don't remember.
Fred Smoot, you got a lot of best friends, okay? I can't narrow it down to one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The point here is, I think this is the point.
They won the Super Bowl without him.
Yes, they did. They did. They won one. Would they have won more if Smooty Patootie would have been a DB? I don't know. The point is, Chucky passed on a Hall of Famer because he made a joke. Because he considered him cocky and arrogant. Maybe he was cocky and arrogant. You know what else he was? Real good at football.
He still sounds cocky and arrogant. I mean,
so do I.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman is the general manager for the Philadelphia Eagles, fresh off of winning his second Super Bowl ring and his third Super Bowl appearance. He was on a podcast with Todd McShay, and McShay asked him a question, and he gave maybe the greatest answer of all time. My man said, winning your first Super Bowl is like doing the old Unskinny Bop for the first time. You're like, hey, I'm just glad to be here. Just glad to be here. You don't think about the quality. You don't think about enjoying it in the moment. You just think about, hey, I'm glad to be here. And then it happens the second time, and you're like, yeah, let's celebrate now. What I'm saying is, here on this Rob Brown radio program, we compare everything to three things: professional wrestling, food, and relationships. Why? Because those are 2.5 universal experiences. Everybody eats, everybody has relationships, and half of the people like professional wrestling. Those are the three things. My man Howie just went to the far extreme of comparing winning a Super Bowl to a relationship. He said, the first time you do the boom boom, you're just glad to be here. You don't really appreciate it for what it is. But then once you're there, and once you've done it, and once you got it in the bag, now you know how to appreciate it. And now you realize that if you put in the effort and the energy to chase it down and make it happen, it's the best. I've never heard an answer that resonates with me like my dog, Howie Roseman. That's why that guy's going to win 8 more Super Bowls, because if he pursues Super Bowls like half of us have pursued pretty girls at bars over the years, he's never going to give up. I like that clip. It made me laugh. Tony Allen, former New Orleans Pelican. Speaking of my birds, allowing Bron. Every time history is made, it's always against my teams, right? Like, go look at every time that a player did the most blanks in a game. It's always against the Saints. Tony Allen played for my New Orleans Saints a very long time ago under head coach Alvin Gentry. We were not good back in the time. He was on the a podcast, the Grind City Media Pod, and he told a story, actually a couple of stories, rolled into one about his time with my favorite that I hate NBA team. Nothing like listening to a former player and three podcasters die laughing at the complete futility of your basketball program.
Whoever the one guy was, the laugh. Listen, dude, just silent laugh going forward. That laugh was rough. You know the one I'm talking about. And I don't know who it was.
Lonzo out here.
Come on.
Judging people.
Well, the problem is the laugh overshadowed everything and made it hard to focus on anything else other than the laugh. Just saying.
I don't care about that. I care about the fact that I got a former player going on a popular basketball podcast saying a head coach that is another guy on a long list of head coaches in New Orleans that I wanted canned well before he was, was bringing his players to the other team's facility, not a basketball team, the football team's facility to practice, didn't know what he wanted to tell his team to do in games, and we just kept them around for a long time.
So you're buying all that?
Yeah.
I just think he was just cracking on
yes,
the team. I don't think that stuff is true.
Because I watched Alvin Gentry coach, and the majority of time they would show Gentry on the end of the bench in a heated game, and he was this. Coach, we're down two. There's a minute and a half left to play. We're down two to the champs.
That's like me at every sporting event. I mean,
you're not the head coach. Lonzo, you're not the head coach of the NBA's New Orleans Pelicans.
Maybe that's. I mean, maybe people understood what he was pointing at, and
they lost all the games, so it doesn't matter.
Every single one of them.
All of them. I don't think we won a game for 9 years. Oh, that made me real mad. I wasn't. That made me real mad. Hey, when we come back here in just a minute from now, I got a little bit more sound I want to play for you. Todd Machey talked about Travis Hunter. I'll play that for you. Bubba Ray Dudley and The Undertaker did a podcast together, the Busted Open After Dark pod. They had a pretty funny moment I'm going to share with you. What else we got? I got Julian Edelman and Gronk being the greatest on-air duo of all time. I'll play that for you. And a heated debate between Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve that we are going to decide for them. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We got Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, coming up in the next segment. He just texted me. He said, when are we on? Just parked at the rink. Took forever. Had to park at the church across the street. It's full. The SEC tournament obviously tipping off here in, what is it, almost 9 o'clock, so about 3.5 hours. We'll get game number one.
Wait. He doesn't have VIP parking?
I don't know if he doesn't or if it, we'll find out because he's joining the show live on the stream.
Because you've got that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Well, I've been in that parking lot. I know you have, too.
Benetti just texted me and said, had to stroll about 6 blocks to get there. When do we go on? I was like, after you catch your breath, buddy.
My dude looks like he could run a marathon.
Benetti's in shape. Of all the local broadcasters I know, I got to think Benetti and Diesel are the two most in shape. And, I think he's going to be fine. Benetti still skates.
I was going to say, I was thinking Benetti busts out the skateboard.
Yeah, no, I think he still plays. I think he still gets out there and plays a little beer league hockey. We'll find out. Voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Mark Benetti, joins us here in about 14 minutes from right now. Before we get there, though, got a couple more audio clips I'm going to play for you. My favorite dynamic duo in the podcast broadcast world right now, Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski. Edelman, because he's just a dude, and Rob, because he's absolutely just a bro. He's just a bro, and I love him for it.
Yeah, that's basically the whole podcast. That and bleep, bleep, bleep.
I know, I love it. I am here for what I now
because
deem...
Because you're a substance guy, of course.
Because of what I now deem as Rady Bro. It's where you do radio, but just as bros who like to have a good time. So, Edelman and Gronk did two segments. Gronk went to Australia. Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. And when asked by Julian Edelman about his trip to Australia, here's what Gronk said. Okay.
Is he talking about a chinchilla?
Nope. He's talking about an animal called an echidna. E-C-H-I-D-N-A, which is, indeed, covered in spikes like a porcupine. Rob Gronkowski believes those spikes are called porcupines. Porcupine's the animal. They're quills.
By the way, how many edits had to be in that?
Zero. They went through that entire, not a bleep.
Dude, that's not what I mean. Listen to how chopped up that sounded.
Oh, well, that's recorded from a social media clip. That's not from the pod. That's from a social media clip. All right. Here's what I love. I love that there's not 3 seconds of that clip that goes by that I can't break something down. Like, for instance, the fact that Rob Gronkowski got to go to Australia and he said, my bucket list item was, and I was like, oh, what was it? Was it see the Gold Coast? Was it go to the Sydney Opera House? Was it travel the Outback? Was it see Steve Austin's?
Why is surfing not the top of the list?
That's the Gold Coast. Is it surfing? Is it seeing Steve Irwin's family zoo? And he said, no, my bucket list was to fist fight a kangaroo in the wild, which, okay, kind of respectable. Like, I get it. Like, all of us have had the conversation of, could you beat up wild animal blank? So I get it. Then he said, I got to see a koala bear. You know my favorite part of the koala bear is? I thought to myself, is it because it's so cute and cuddly? Is it because it's such a random animal that, like, we all know, we know what they are. We've seen them all the time. But you can only see them in Australia or at a zoo, and he got to get up close to personal. He said, no, my favorite thing about a koala bear is that it's stoned all the time, and that's hilarious. Great. And then he ended up by, and I understand maybe not recalling the name of an echidna. It's not exactly an animal that is in the daily lexicon of wildlife here in the States.
I'm but still
he
not
thought
sure
it
it's
was
real.
Called an enchilada. He didn't just go, you know, there's another animal kind of looks like a porcupine, got quills and is spiky and all that, and I got to see that, and it was really cool. No, 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 no. He said, I got to hang out with an enchilada, and he was just convinced the name of that animal was an enchilada. That's spectacular. Fantastic.
Okay, admittedly, I have to look this up because your pronunciation's not always the greatest, and I've never heard of an echidna before, and as I start to type it in, the first thing is echidna, the second thing is enchilada. So,
oh, again, I understand.
So maybe he looked up how to say it.
I understand the again, like,
oh,
maybe.
They have like a platypus beak.
Yeah, they're Australian. They're marsupials from Australia. They're only in Australia, much like most animals in Australia.
There's a
they're
guy.
Only there. I understand it, and I understand maybe not remembering echidna off the top of your head. What I'm going with here is you went to enchilada. That's where you ended up at.
Did you know what an echidna was before?
Yes, because I've watched every wildlife animal show that's ever been on TV.
I don't believe in all my years of living I've ever heard of an echidna before.
I've watched all of them. I know all of them. I know them all well. And then they followed up that conversation with this one. And it's doing the stupid thing again. Cool. Hang on 2 seconds, because I'm not leaving this segment without playing you this. And I'm playing you this because I appreciate the moment of self-actualization that Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman had. I appreciate, to me, acknowledging who and what you are is the single most important thing any person can do. It is the most important thing for your ability to grow and improve. And Julian and Rob, I like that. I like that from Gronk and Julian. I like that from Edelman and Rob. I like the moment of realization. Look, we're not the smartest guys in the room, but we're not idiots. I mean, we are idiots, but we're not idiots, which is something I say daily on this show. Look, I'm not an idiot. Okay, I am an idiot, but I'm not that kind of idiot, right? Bubba Ray Dudley and The Undertaker, obviously a pair of icons in the sports entertainment realm.
They've been doing this a lot, by the way. You should check it out since they started doing LFG together. Undertaker's been joining Bubba Ray on his After Dark podcast. It's pretty good.
So Bubba Ray does maybe the most listened to wrestling podcast in the world called Busted Open. He does a spinoff called Busted Open After Dark, where he will bring in legends and they will just sit there and pound Jack Daniels together. The boys.
Wow. That was the clip you played.
The boys, I was watching.
Nothing insightful about wrestling, which it was a.
This segment's not for insight.
Okay.
This segment's entertainment only.
They found another bottle of.
No. Let me tell you why I played that clip. Why I love that clip.
Hey, my computer is about to optimize.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I played that clip and why I love that clip. I played that clip and I love that clip for one reason and one reason alone. I was watching the Tiger Golf League yesterday, or as they call it so that they don't call it the Tiger Golf League, the Tomorrow Golf League yesterday. And I have to tell you, I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine who I have gotten into the TGL because it is absolutely electrifying. Entertainment. And we were texting back and forth as Jupiter was taking on Atlanta yesterday. Playoff seeds on the line for the Atlanta team. And he said, I can't figure out why I like this so much. I can't figure out why I'm attracted to this. I don't sit around and watch guys play video games on stream on Twitch. I don't know why I like this so much. It's basically them playing video games but with a golf club. And I said, let me tell you why. You like this so much because it's the boys being the boys. You like this because it's them playing golf the way you and I go play golf. It's us sitting in a golf cart on the green next to seven, bumping George Strait or The Weeknd or Kendrick out of our speaker. It's us bringing that speaker onto the green so we can keep listening to Nelly when we're dropping putts from 8 feet, or more realistically, missing putts from 8 feet. It's us playing Tiger Woods on the Xbox at night, laughing at each other for being bad at this, except it's the best golfers in the world doing it. You're watching them, people that we have no connection with when they are playing golf, play golf the way that we play golf. I played that clip because Bubba Ray and Undertaker sounded like me and the boys. Oh, man, we're out of booze. All right, buddy, good to see you. No, we're not. They're just the boys. I like clips that humanize people. I like clips that bring people into my world and not expect me to come into theirs. And the fact that Bubba sold the Taker that we're out of whiskey, and Taker was like, oh, all right, well, see you later. And then Bubba hit him with the swerve of, no, we're not. It made me feel like they're just the boys. I love the TGL. I appreciate that moment out of Bubba Ray. That's spectacular. You know what else I appreciate? Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, taking a few minutes to join us on the show, which he will do in the next segment. We'll catch up with the bunnies next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, sometimes I like to be validated. Sometimes I like to hear other geniuses say, no, Rob Brown, you're exactly correct in the thing that you're saying.
As in parking?
No, as in somebody goes, Rob Brown, turns out you know exactly what the hell you're talking about. And I like it when it comes from other stinking geniuses in the sports broadcasting world, stinking geniuses like the young man who serves as the voice of your, my, our Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the mouth of the squad himself, Mark Benetti. Is joining us on our live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Fan Upstate on X, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch. And Lonzo and I, Mark Benetti, have been butting heads for, I don't know, I've lived here 5 months and 4 days, 5 years and 4 days. So we have been butting heads for 5 years and 3 days about the greatness that is Queen's Don't Stop Me Now. And you have just said you're on board with one of the greatest feel-good anthems of all time.
100%, without a doubt. Actually, the very first time I heard Don't Stop Me Now, I was in high school. I was the drum major of my high school's marching band, and our halftime show was a Queen show. And so to get ready for all the standards and whatnot, I just started listening to Queen for an entire summer. And that was just an absolute banger. I've loved it ever since.
I just want to point out in my defense, I don't really need to defend myself, but I love Queen. I just don't like that song. And Benetti just threw up the John Cena sign. I don't know if you saw it. I saw it. Okay, that's a heel move. And the fact that one of your friends agrees with you, shocker.
I mean, Mark Benetti is absolutely my friend, both on and off the air. But he's also a genius of stage and screen. The man understands classic soundtracks. Is all I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say I'm a genius. I appreciate the tire pump, but I mean, you know, I just like to think I've got good taste.
Me too. Totally agree, because we have the same taste. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbit, is joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate every Wednesday at 8:40. We talk a little bunny hockey, and Marky Mark, not the roadie that the boys wanted to start. A 7-game road trip. 0-3 out of the gate, one against Orlando on Friday, two against Jacksonville, the butthole of America, on Saturday and Sunday. What can the fellas do with four more on the road before they get back to the well for a big weekend next weekend? What went wrong in Florida, and how do we get it fixed to pick up a couple of dubs before we come back to the crib?
So Coach Mountain aptly pointed out in two of the, actually really in all three games, the team did not start at puck drop. They were not here at puck drop ready to go. And it showed because, you know, Orlando, yeah, you went into the break 0-0 to go into period two, but you were outshot 15-5, I believe was the margin, or 13-5, something within that ballpark. And before you know it, they get a shorthanded goal. Probably shouldn't have counted because Miles Gendry got boarded on the sequence and it wasn't called. It is what it is. You have to deal with what you're given. So now you're down 1-0. You go on the penalty kill later. They get a power play goal. I mean, the 5-on-5 offense just wasn't there. You look at all three games, two goals were scored. One of them was in 5-on-5 hockey. Actually, I take that back. None of them were in 5-on-5 because the one goal against Orlando to avoid the shutout was a 6-on-3 power play with the goaltender pulled, and then the only goal in Jacksonville was a power play goal. So there were zero 5-on-5 even strength goals scored. So 5-on-5 offense not being there was one, but at puck drop not being dialed and ready to go was another. And so, you know, you saw some response, you saw some tendencies change as the weekend went on, but ultimately that was what was lacking. And it's unfortunate because the team has points in 6 consecutive home games. So you thought that success would transfer to road play, and what made the home streak work was 5-on-5 offense. You know, you look at that game against Atlanta, the 8-2 obliteration that game was for the post-game concert, and five goals were 5-on-5, one was shorthanded, two were 4-on-4. So 7 out of 8 goals were at least even strength, and that made a heck of a difference. And unfortunately, the even strength offense just wasn't there.
I appreciate Mark Benetti, not just for the talent and willingness to give us 20 minutes a week. I also appreciate the honesty because I think it's, to me, important, even those of us affiliated and associated with the team, to be honest about it. It was not the hockey team that we saw playing that 3-game set when they went on the road. Do you have any diagnosis of that? Was it just a matter of it being 5 days, being a long roadie, being on a bus, on a plane, on a train, whatever? Or was this just a matter of, and this happens, I don't care who you are, it happens to LeBron James, it happened to Wayne Gretzky and everybody. You go out there, you go on a bit of a hot streak, and maybe you kind of pull off the throttle a little bit.
I wouldn't say that they pulled off the throttle. And to be perfectly honest, Rob, I don't know if there's necessarily one diagnosable thing with it. It's just you identify what the trend was. And both times, all three games, the start wasn't there. And all three games, 5-on-5 hockey wasn't there. And so when you don't start on time, you just that's mental focus. You just have to dial it in, that odd puck drop. You're ready to go. Guns blazing. You take a hit, you give a hit, you take a shot, you block a shot, and just kind of go along with that. Coach Mountain loves to say, and he's absolutely right on every single facet of it, that it starts in practice. So what are your practice habits? Are you showing up to practice ready to go as if you're taking the opening puck drop to a game? Are you going to hit as if you're trying to get intense, ready to go for road competition or any kind of competition? And then for the 5-on-5 offense, it's sticking to what worked. The goaltending worked, the defensive zone worked. You protected your netminder, you stayed disciplined, and then by being sound defensively, you were able to transition the opposite way and have fun in the ozone. So I think it's just getting back to what makes this team click. And you and I have seen it, whether it's 8-2, whether it's 3-0, whether it's even a 5-4 shootout win, when this team stays to 5-on-5, when they stay out of the box, and when they commit to defense, good things happen.
Talking to Mark Bonetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. If there is a silver lining we're looking for here, Mark Bonetti, it's after that three-game slide to start the road trip. The boys get a full 4 days off. They don't drop it again until Friday. This would be, to me, an unfortunate spot to find one of those Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday night games. This is a good chance. And you and I, the last time the team went on one of these two-week road trips, talked about how being able to communicate, build chemistry, you're around each other and nobody else for that long. That plus a four-day stretch here, I would expect, at least I hope, a different team to be on the ice 7:30 p.m. on the road at Savannah.
100%. And you also have to recognize the situation, too. You've got two slightly different opponents. You've got Savannah, who you haven't seen in a couple of weeks since back in February. You get Orlando, who you already saw, who you know you owe. So there's some mental fortitude there to come into that game, get ready to go no matter what, because you owe these guys, and they're obviously very important. You know, look, the situation, I'm looking at the standings right now and some of the calculations I've done, the situation doesn't look great, but you still have a shot, right? And so when you recognize that you got to play desperate all three games, you're against somebody you haven't played in a couple of weeks, and then you're almost immediately rematching somebody that gave it to you the last time out, it makes for what could be a very exciting week of hockey. Savannah starting to get back to 100% now. Charlotte was the most injured AHL team in the league. They had 12 or 13 guys on IR at one point, so they were basically the Charlotte Ghost Pirates at one point in the AHL with how many guys they had called up on contract. So now Savannah's starting to get back to 100%. You know that they still have a shot, 15 points out of a playoff spot. They've got six games in hand on Orlando right now, so they're looking to make a run here. And then you've got Orlando, who's trying to hold serve on that fourth spot. Not to mention, for us, those are four-point swings both of those nights. So, you know, for just to put it into perspective, the Swamp Rabbits elimination number is 18. So by any combination of points lost by the Swamp Rabbits or gained by the Solar Bears, that number goes down. So let's just assume the worst. If Saturday the Solar Bears win in overtime, or I'm sorry, in regulation, that number goes down to 14 in a blink. And so if you win that game in regulation, that number stays at 18, and you get to gain some ground here with only 18 games to go. So time's running out, but that puts a little bit more pressure into the cooker for the weekend.
Mark Bonetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And I think the other aspect we have to talk about, and this comes up a couple of times for every team at this level through every season, but we're kind of at the point now where teams like Ontario and Charlotte, they're starting to call guys up because they're dealing with their own injuries. They see guys at this level starting to get hot. Dryden McKay, who had an incredible streak of games going, he gets called up to Ontario. This is a spot where, to me, as much as Kyle Mountain's got to be able to go in that locker room, have that conversation with the boys to have them ready to play at 7 o'clock and not at 7:45, it's also being able to manage the roster, manage the personnel, make sure he's got the right chemistry, the right shifts, the right lines, etc. Not an easy job for a guy like Kyle Mountain at this point in the season to try to, on one hand, have that roster management, that development angle, on the other hand, go, we'd like to make the playoffs, maybe make a dark horse run to a Kelly Cup here.
Well, so the mindset's always going to be make the run. Until the math says you have no shot in any kind of calculation situation whatsoever, that's going to be the goal, is to get in. Because you have to operate like that. If you don't, then you're doing everybody a disservice. And I know he's operating on, we're getting in this thing until they tell us, hey, you're done. So, and that, quite frankly, Rob, again, when you look at the numbers, it's still far off. I mean, you have to take care of what you can take care of. If you're not careful, it can slip away from you. But, I mean, with 18 games to go, there's still as good a shot as anybody to get in. The other thing on the roster management point, too, yes, you're right. People are getting called up. You had Drew Krebs go up and then come back down. Parker Berg went up last week. Dryden McKay went up. Who knows who else Ontario or Los Angeles is going to call up, because the Reign and the Kings are poised to make a playoff run here again. But then you also have to realize, not just for the Swamp Rabbits, but for everybody else in the ECHL, whether you're in the bracket or not, or trying to get in it or solidifying your spot, college hockey ends this weekend in the regular season. Now, there's still the tournament to be played. There's still conference tournaments to get sorted out, and then the Frozen Four comes up. But a lot of college players that want to try their hand at the pro ranks are going to be free agents. And so now he's looking for, what can I do to make us better in the immediate while also building for the future or building for a potential playoff? Who's a diamond in the rough that could come out of Vermont or UNO or Minnesota State Mankato or Clarkson or Colgate that maybe gives you that extra edge? Or even if you don't make the playoffs, who sets the foundation for a strong rookie class coming into next year too? So it's a heck of a 4D test match here, and I'm excited to see what he does with it, because this is where, you know, I looked to Orlando last year and they got Spencer Kirsten out of Sacred Heart. And that guy, for every time you've heard me call a Solar Bears game that he has a point or two or three, he's been a thorn in our side. Imagine what he's done against the rest of the league. He's one of the leading rookie scorers in the ECHL, if not the leading rookie scorer, and was a key catalyst to them getting to round two. So I'm not saying you're going to find that every year, but you want to find that next Spencer Kirsten. For me, when I was with the Rapid City Rush my second year, you want to find that Cody Ferriero who got called up from Pensacola in the SPHL and put together 45 points in 30 games and got you home ice advantage and got you into round two. So this is a very unique time of year where you're looking for the next best thing and you might just find it.
Shout out Pensacola Ice Flyers, by the way. First team I ever worked for. Well done. Mark Benetti, voice of the Swamp Rabbits. One more, we'll let you go. You got a couple more ahead of you before the next time home. Friday night, Savannah, a pair against Orlando. Saturday, Sunday, a midweeker on the road at your in-state rival over in Charleston to take on the Rays. And then we're back home. Not just back home, but taking on Kansas City, a team that we don't often see. And you and I have talked about this before. To me, make a run, hold serve, win more than you lose in the next four, and give yourself an opportunity against an opponent you don't see very often to maybe kind of solidify your identity a little bit back at the crib, back home in front of the home fans, back in your own barn. This, to me, is a wildly important six-game stretch for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits.
100% it is. And, you know, you don't want to get overly dramatic and say this is the season. But again, you're playing desperation hockey, so you might as well just put that mindset in your head and go, OK, this is it. We're playing for our lives here. And every game moving forward is a playoff game. Still a slight margin of error, but you don't want to throw chance to that. Right. So for the Swamp Rabbits, yeah, it's getting back to what worked, getting back to 5-on-5. You got to stay out of the box. The penalty kill didn't give up a goal in the finale against Jacksonville. They killed off five, four of them coming in the second period. It was absolutely stalwart, and here's hoping that's the jumpstart that PK needed to get back on the horse, get back to over 80%, and then start working their way back into the top 15, top 10 of the league where they've been the most of the year. But if you can do that, you've got a really good shot against a high-powered Savannah team, against an Orlando team that it always is a grinder against no matter what, dating back to last year's series and the playoffs and everything in between. Your in-state rival, you owe those guys in that building. That is one of the toughest buildings to play in this year. South Carolina is one of two or three teams in the league that has over 20 wins on home ice, so and less than five regulation losses at home. So that's going to be a gauntlet no matter what. And then you've got a Kansas City team, defending Western Conference champion. They've got one of the best goaltenders in the league in Jack LaFontaine. You've got a team that has one of the top scorers in Cade Borchardt, both goals and points in the league, and a power play that's lethal. Plus the assistant coach I worked with for 6 out of 7 years in Rapid City at one point, Riley Wislowski, all-time games played leader. His number's retired there. So certainly a team that's more than capable of going on another run to the Kelly Cup final. Should be very difficult, but it'll also bring out the best in you. You know, that's why we get in sports. It's for the challenge. It's for the thrill of competition. So I'm excited to see what this team does, because these next seven games coming up are going to be awesome.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits and a Rob Brown Show legend, if I may bestow that title upon him. They join us, the Bunnies do, every Wednesday at 8:40 to talk a little hockey, my man. You're an icon. I'll see you later this afternoon, pal. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. You got it.
Done and done. Mark Benetti, an icon in the world of sports broadcasting. When we come back, we go from one icon to the next. Is Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM, joins us. We'll get his thoughts on this ACC settlement that was reached with Clemson and Florida State yesterday. Another broadcasting icon, Lonzo, when he does a sports flash.
I'm award-winning. The Gamecock men's basketball team fell to the Georgia Bulldogs last night, 73-64. South Carolina brought the game to single digits inside of 2 minutes, but Georgia out-rebounded them down the stretch to seal the win. Colin Murray-Boyles scored 24, and Nick Pringle recorded 11, but no other Gamecock reached double digits. The number one team in America, the Auburn Tigers, were dominated last night by the Texas A&M Aggies. Oh, being dominated by an Aggie. 83-72, the Tigers' worst performance of the season. the win was A&M's first ever over an AP number one ranked team and ends Auburn's six-game win streak. If you're not on the stream, you have no idea what he was just doing. Tune in Saturday at 8 p.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs in the first round of the SoCon basketball tournament. It's Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.